Hello everyone, welcome to another BI for All talks. My name is Hugo Mendes. I've been at BI for All for almost 5 years, between 4 to 5 years, and I'm currently working at AI and Data Science team. And with me today is Orlando Anunciação, manager at BI for All, and also working on the AI and Data Science team. And today we are going to discuss some of the AI trends for 2024. That we analyzed and we decided that, okay, these might be some of the most recurrent trends that we're going to see throughout the next months. So, Orlando, democratization of AI was one of the trends that we identified. What do you think?
Yes, definitely. And it's not by chance that it's our first trend, because we see AI everywhere at the moment. We see AI on the news. We see AI on even conspiration theories. We see AI, people talking about it on the cafes. So we see that it's getting to people. While before was something, AI was something that was just for, let's say, researchers or some technical people inside companies. Now it's really getting to the normal citizen. So yeah, definitely it's a topic that is trending and it's going to happen even more in 2024.
Yeah, and something that's not like new, so it has been around for a lot of time.
Yes, definitely.
But it looks like now with the deployments or availability of things like ChatGPT or any other platforms that really gave here a boost, people started to really talk about AI and companies started to, what is this about ChatGPT? What can I do with it? If I can implement in my company, even though they might not have some projects yet in AI, some more traditional ones. And we see that it was a big disruptive trend that we saw in just a few months, like since more or less the end of beginning 2023. And with that, it's just created a lot of other applications. So we now see ChatGPT, we have now BART from Google. Meta also have some kind of like a playground where people can just work a bit and see how it provides some inputs, if it can see if they can add into their projects or any kind of tasks or problems that they have. So we can see that democratization of AI is something that is going to be continued talked about throughout 24 and maybe 25, 26. And
yes, definitely. Just one extra comment about that. So it's interesting that the release of ChatGPT was definitely a very important point that generated all this hype, I believe. But it's interesting also that the company that released the technology that allowed ChatGPT to be built was Google with the Transformers. So all the companies have been doing good work, all these big companies, OpenAI, Google, and Meta, and all others, releasing all these very, very interesting models for us to use and to make most of it.
Completely agree. So one of the other trends that we identified was mainly regarding with ethics and regulations, because we know that with the democratization of AI and the wide spread availability of AI applications, it also creates kind of dangers and hazards for the future because of its massification in its use, right?
Definitely. I believe that it's very important that we build AI systems for the person, for the society, to bring good value for the society as a whole. On the other hand, it's also important that we don't overregulate, so that we don't kill the creativity, the innovation on this field. So I believe that it's very, very important that we have a good regulation on AI. Definitely, we don't want to build systems like the one that they have in China about credits, social credit. We don't want that in Europe, at least. We don't want other systems that can be very intrusive and like creating, a dictatorship that AI can help with that. We don't want that. So it's good that the citizen can be protected from that. But yes, let's not overregulate. Let's not complicate things too much, so that companies and researchers can still come up with new things and innovate in this area.
Yeah, yeah. it's a, it makes sense because we know that it has a lot of capacity, but we know that it can be used for good and it could also be used for bad. And we need to have this kind of regulations without the need to completely
For example, in the beginning, some years ago, when the European Union started releasing some preliminary rules about on this field, one of the discussions on the Academy was if European Union was, let's say, banning the use of deep learning. Why? Because European Union, in the, one of the first documents, still not a regulation, was saying that the citizen has the right, and I completely agree, to understand why some decision was made. And the point was, if with, for example, deep learning, the model makes a decision, and we don't exactly understand why the model made that decision. So, of course, then there are these very difficult questions that need a very good balance. So when we don't know very well how the balance should be done, we should be very, very careful in producing laws.
Yeah, makes sense. So the next trend that we identified was upskilling for the AI revolution. So what do you think about this?
I think that's also connected, let's say, with the democratization of AI, because since today AI is everywhere and is such a powerful, let's say, technology tool, it brings so many applications that can be useful for everyone, basically. So people who will have the skills on AI will definitely be more productive, they'll be more successful. So it's not, AI is not just for the IT guy, it's not just for the geek or the techie, no, it's for everyone. And everyone should start using it, all the tools that are available, some of them are free, and to start getting acquainted with this field. Of course, not everyone is going to be an expert on the field. Sure. People don't need to be experts, but they need to start using the tools and all that, because that can be very important for their career, for their lives, in all aspects.
Yeah, because we will see that many more roles will be created or will be needed by many companies, because with this new or increasing adoption of AI tools, so they will need people that can work with that and know what they are doing and not just like trying to follow something that they read somewhere. Like in 5 to 10 minutes, so they really need to find someone with specific skills to continue implementing these projects and improve with the end result of always having like this added value of I'm installing or I'm implementing something with AI, so I want to have benefits higher than the costs that they can bring. Also related, not in terms of the upskilling for the people, but we also identified the trend of the appearance of more augmented AI apps. And here, for example, I can bring just the example of like Copilot from Microsoft. What do you think? Do you think that we'll continue to see even more AI power that go a leap beyond what we have so far and just creating new ways of doing our work?
Yes, so that's what I think. I think that not just new apps will appear, but the existing apps that already dominate their own markets will have more and more AI features. So we already start seeing that with Microsoft, for example, Microsoft Office. So Excel, so new versions, Excel and so with Copilot, all the Office applications, Word, PowerPoint, have AI features already that can make the work much easier or creative. So that's one point. Other tools such as image editing tools or image creation. Honestly, I'm not expert on images because I'm not very artistic, but those tools are also bringing more and more features on AI. So those are the existing ones. And new tools will appear just based on AI. And we should have a look at them. There are so many, it would be impossible for us here to talk about all of them. No, yeah, so remember. That will leave for the listener or to check.
Yeah,
right.
I remember that when a bit on when ChatGPT became widely available and everyone could use it and experiment and so on. So I saw that, for example, in LinkedIn, there was a lot of posts of saying like 50 AI apps that were created or that yes. were using the basis of LLMs and so on. So yes. just with this kind of like disruptive moment, we saw that a lot of other applications appeared that would use more or less the same. Each one of them getting a bit more specific, one for image, one for music, one for speech and so on and so on. So I think at the same time, I think we can kind of say more or less that, okay, with Copilot, with the help of, I want to have this function, so it creates the function like in seconds, we could say, okay, now we're getting a bit lazy. But I think here is like, it's not use it for that purpose, but use it in complements. So some of these tasks that are a bit more time consuming, that are just easy and to do, could be complemented by an AI kind of powered solution, and then we could focus on what really matters to understand like rules and ways of thinking and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
The next trend that we identified was AI for sustainability. And here we kind of look at sustainability, not just like in the climate environmental sense, but also for society overall, because we know that with the appearance of many more applications of AI, there's a lot of discussion of AI is going to replace all of our jobs. We're going to become like obsolete because everything is being done by AI. So here we can have understood that AI for sustainability is still one of the thematics that's going to be throughout this year and others, because this is the approach of, okay, we are implementing this, but we need to keep in mind all of these aspects that we don't want to bring because of this implementation.
Yeah, so about the sustainability, in terms of the environment, AI, we could say, okay, is not very friend of the environment because training all those big models and using them, of course, that has some ecological cost. But on the other hand, the benefits that we can bring from AI, I'm completely convinced that will be much more than what the costs are. So I think that shouldn't be, let's say, something that will make us avoiding using AI. In terms of the jobs, yes, definitely AI will have an impact. So some jobs, but let's say this has happened before. It's not the first time that it happens during. It's normal that over time some jobs get obsolete just because things change, right? AI maybe will accelerate that. Maybe even to jobs that before we didn't think that could change or disappear. But we have to see it on the positive side because it will also create much more opportunities. It will create new jobs and it will improve the efficiency of the processes and that in overall will benefit society. Because, for example, we are now many billions of people. If we don't have processes in place that are efficient, we cannot, for example, feed everyone. We cannot, you know, have good conditions for everyone. So we need to be more efficient. AI will help in that. So I'm very positive about AI. It can be a threat for some jobs, yes, but the benefits will be much more.
Yeah.
We have to, you know, just embrace AI because AI will not disappear. We have to, you know, let's go for it. You know,
it's not without with many discussions that it's getting to disappear because it's actually a bit of the opposite. It's getting more and more relevancy on the on the world spectrum where everything is now talking about AI with new developments, LLMs, and then regulation on top of it. And so we'll continue to speak about AI.
The world is just moving. We cannot try to stop the wind with our hands.
That's true. And then, as you said, like we could use this in terms of maybe in a production factory or something that people, some not that many as of now, maybe more small companies and so, but those high mechanized companies that could use a lot of like human validity of products for defects and so on. Mm-hmm. So the implementation of AI solutions with computer vision and any other kind of solutions could help of identifying with a higher accuracy these kind of products that could go into the market, the client would buy them, and they would saw that they had some defects. So there was an extra cost of the product was created, they had the associated cost of it, but it's going to be returned. So it kind of like, but now what? It's going to the trash, it's going to be repaired. So there's like a lot of costs that could be avoided just by having this like complement of having a process that could identify these kind of cases, knowing that humans are tend to error, so they could pass these kind of products like not that's because it was their fault or because they wanted to, but just because we are humans, so we do these kind of errors. We have another trend that we identified. Some that are not that specific in terms of that's something that's going to happen in 2024, or we predict to happen in 2024. But it's something that it will continue through the next years, and it's AI in healthcare. So what do you think?
So in first place, it's important to say that AI has been in healthcare already for many years. It has helped, for example, in the development of medicines. It has helped in understanding, for example, diseases. Let's say, not just in the clinical sense, but also in terms of the genetics of diseases, for example. I personally worked on that during my PhD and my research in academia before coming to the enterprise world. So it has been there. But what I believe is that now it will enter a new phase in which AI will be more visible to the patient. So I would say that we'll get even more personalization in terms of the medicines that are prescribed. So one of the problems that in healthcare, for example, if a medicine is prescribed, it's just prescribed and the doctor looks at you and sees that, okay, you are 30 years old, you have this weight, and that's it, and prescribes the dosage. But maybe, you know, each person is different, then the prescription should take into consideration not just that, but your lifestyle, your genes, your medical history. So should take all that into consideration. I believe that these kinds of things will happen more and more in a healthcare. Mm-hmm.
And see that a lot of information now is getting like kind of digitalized. So we have the doctor can have the history of it. So now it's just how to use it to improve the quality of how patients are being treated, basically.
Yeah, and then it's also the understanding. That's something that I believe still doesn't happen in most hospitals, for example. It's like understanding a patient in all its complexity. There were some research cases, for example, on systems that can understand, for example, cases of domestic violence. Because usually they were not detected, and the reason was because the person comes to different doctors, so different sections of the hospital, and they don't communicate. But when you look in an integrated way to each patient, you may understand these kind of situations. And so I believe that these kind of developments will happen more and more, and the patient will get a more personalized treatment when he goes to the hospital, for example.
You'd like the just to compliment, so here we have like this like low part of impacts on people that we know that we're just going to the hospital, so we want it to be treated like the best way that we want. Mm-hmm. And then we have like the higher part of exoskeletons and so on, which can be another team that can just go and with the implants that could regain like control of your brain into your body for people that have like, for example, accidents and just lose mobility, basically. So we'll probably see a lot of, not that it wasn't invested before, but now with the clear like public examples and ways to really see that, okay, this is being implemented here, and we are seeing more and more examples of these in our society, basically.
Yes, definitely. I think that will happen, that will appear more and more. Yeah.
So similar to the healthcare, we also have AI in cybersecurity.
Yes, cybersecurity. It's a very important topic. Usually, well, not usually, but in many many cases, companies only worry with cybersecurity when they have a problem.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't be like that. So, but I believe that most companies are now becoming more and more aware of the need of cybersecurity. And AI in cybersecurity can be seen in two different perspectives. On the defense side, in which we use AI to defend ourselves from attacks, or on the attacking side, in which we have also to consider that, because attackers can also use AI for attacking. Then let me say also that there is even a third part here that we didn't discuss before, but it's also true. That is the security of AI systems also. So there is also, it's also related. So
security in everything.
Yes. So yeah, AI has been used, in fact, in cybersecurity before. Like the classical example is fraud detection, but also intrusion detection systems, for example. And now these, of course, these use cases will continue, but because the attacks are more sophisticated, the defenses also have to be more sophisticated, and AI will definitely play a role here. One of the possibilities, for example, to use AI is to detect new types of attacks that are coming, new trending attacks. So there are there is investigation ongoing on these kind of things. So yeah, definitely the match between AI and cybersecurity is getting tighter. So there is more and more AI in cybersecurity, and this trend will continue.
Yeah, because I read that with this part of like democratization of AI and all these things that we have been discussing, like we have those emails that we get sent like a few years ago, which was a bit more easy to detect because we saw some parts of the text that were not so well written, or there was a different character in a specific place that we saw. Like, but now we kind of see that with this part of the LLM, so we have more customized ways of responding. So robots are kind of like replying like if they were humans. So it's also like much more difficult to understand if an email is someone like with bad ideas or just want to access our information. And in here we have, like you said, they are going to use AI. So we need also, these companies need to use AI for that part, because they'll be using AI to even get more encryptions, or with encryptions even more complex. So these like cybersecurity companies will also need to be able to decrypt these even more complex encryptions. Yeah. And that could be occur, for example, for a ransomware and so on.
Yes.
The last trend that we identified as a one to watch is AI in robotics and automation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we see robots being more and more used by big companies. For example, the best example, of course, is Amazon. Amazon has been deploying thousands and thousands of robots. In October 2023, Amazon itself reported that it had around 750,000 robots in their warehouses interacting and collaborating with humans. That's how they described it. So, yeah, and when such a company does this, I'm sure that other companies, maybe not as big as Amazon, but they will still follow this trend, because if Amazon is doing it, and of course I'm not expert on the economics of using the robots, but it's because it's economically a good decision, I would say, you know. So I believe that this trend will continue and will be used. Also, of course, we expect that the costs of the robots with time will decrease, yeah. Right? So it will be more beneficial for even smaller companies to start adopting these technologies. So, yeah. One of the things that I also wanted to say about robotics, before you comment about it, is that it's a personal disappointment, because for many, many years, since I started research on this topic more than 20 years ago, I heard about robots for natural disasters, so rescue robots. And in fact, I have been checking just to before this podcast just to have a look. And yes, there is research about it. there was also research 20 years ago. The point is, when we see on the news that a big earthquake happened or a tsunami or something, no, of course there are some small things like using drones or something, but we don't see smart robots being deployed in those scenarios. Of course, let me say that it's a very complex environment, yes. Very complex, because it's not a controlled environment. There are bricks everywhere. There is, you know, it's so. I'm not saying that it's easy, but what I'm saying is that it should be. I think government should pay more attention to this. Maybe international organizations like the United Nations. I even saw that the United Nations has some program about it. But the point is that we don't see it happening when it's necessary. It's just not about technology. It's about politics, I believe. And so that's something about robotics that I think should happen, should have happened already, having robots deployed in these scenarios to find people, for example, that are under the buildings that fell or something, collapsed, yeah. So, yeah, I believe this is something that should happen more. And it's a bit, for me, disappointing that it's still not happening, even though great research is being still done on this area. But we need more than research. We need
it feels like in a theoretical
field. Yes, we need applicability on the real on the real scenario. Right?
And we see, like, for example, companies that from a few years, from Boston Dynamics and so on, that we see that they are able to make robots to like adapt to the environment, to make jumps, to someone tries to push them and they can balance themselves and not fall. So we know that. It's like it's capable. It's not that I'm saying that it's easy. It's capable of doing so. We just now need for someone that really has the power to invest and see the potential of how many lives could be saved. Of course, with all that variables that you mentioned, because in some places that might be not so easy to do. But it's like the added value of how much more lives we could save if we have this kind of like complements and solutions available. So that we just don't go and with ourselves try to save everyone that we know that it's impossible, unfortunately. But we know that it's possible. There are already things that's being done as of now. We just need now to have the next step, basically.
Yeah, sorry, let me just be a little bit politically incorrect since we are almost at the end of our podcast. Sometimes we see so much money being spent on things that don't matter. I'm not going to say which, because if not, you know, someone will be offended. But in this case, that is something that could be used, technology could be used to save lives. We don't see it really happening. I saw some European project, for example, that had a funding of around 300,000 euros, which is not going to, you know, make a huge difference. Okay, it's for research, great, but not going to make a difference in this case.
That's true. I think we'll continue seeing.
Yeah.
I think
that's good.
We saw a lot.
Let's hope we can make a podcast next year about this topic, seeing that many things happen.
And just see, well, the trends for 2024 were not the ones that we were mentioning, or it was the same that we thought it was.
Yes, that can happen.
I completely agree with you, and I think that all of this will continue to happen in this year, in the next year. New things will appear. Some of them will become a bit obsolete because we are not able to really forecast and predict what is going to happen in the next month. But yeah, it will be very interesting the future.
I would just add that I believe that none of the things that we said will be totally wrong.
Yes.
What I think is that other things that we didn't mention here can happen because this area is so hot, let's say, at the moment, that we don't know what can come up, and maybe something, you know, in 1 month or less than that will appear that will change the landscape of AI, and that's why it's so interesting to, you know, be working on this field at the moment. And I invite all our listeners to you know, as I said, embrace it, to learn more about it, because it's really interesting, and it's going to, I believe, make the world better.
Mm-hmm. And see it as like a complement of what they could do even better, and not like to say, okay, now I'm going to understand what is AI. So like in 1 month, I'll not be able to have my job because I created something with AI that does whatever I do. So I think there's kind of like this kind of image of, it's going to rule all our jobs, so we're not going to do anything, but it's difficult with all the nuances that exist, that it's very difficult for it to just like with a snap of a finger everyone will just be ruled by robots just because. Orlando, thank you for your contribution, your insights. It was really fun doing this and discussing this with you. Thanks also everyone that was listening. Feel free to leave comments in the comment session, have your feedback or any other insights that you might find it interesting for us. And we'll reply when it's possible. We'll get into contact with all the comments that you mentioned. Thank you so much. See you next time.
Thank you. Thank you.